We are continuing through the book of Hebrews. We're still in chapter 11, the great book of faith. Last week we talked about a faith that conquers. And this week we're going to talk about a faith that trusts. And you may say, well, isn't faith trust? Well, it is. But it's kind of interesting, because having faith in God can be a little different than trusting God. You know, I would say, I would hope, I pray, that a majority of us here have put our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation, that we've trusted in Him and placed our faith in Him, that one day, when we no longer breathe on this earth, we will open our eyes, we'll be in glory. That he paid the price for our sin. That we would be forgiven. And that we would go to heaven one day. And that's our faith. And you know, I hope everyone here has made that choice. And has have that relationship that God offers through Jesus Christ. But there's a difference in having your faith there than living and trusting God now, in our life now. We can have problems trusting God in the here and now, when life happens and situations rise up and issues occur. And sometimes it's from our own personality, our own choices. Sometimes it's things that happen to us. And the writer of Hebrews gives us four examples of men whose faith landed them in chapter 11. I mean, if you're in chapter 11, you are up there. You're in some good company. And they were chosen by God, but their trust in God had to grow. And that is the message title, Faith That Trusts. God chooses the unlikely. And verse 32 of chapter 11, we're not even going to go through the whole verse. The verse says, "And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." So that's verse 32. And we're going to take the first four guys, Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. And he says, what more can I say? I mean, the writer is on a roll here. He's going through, he's gone through Abel and Enoch and those before the flood, and then Moses after the flood, Noah and all that, and Abraham, and he's coming down, and Moses and these things, and he gets done with Jericho and Rahab and all those things, and then he says, and what more can I say? You know, and he names off these guys. And we're going to look at this because these are four guys, when you examine them, they're kind of unlikely guys. They're guys that had some flaws. They're guys that had some trust issues. And yet God used them in a mighty way. And so we're going to look, and starting off with Gideon. And we have in verse 32, Gideon. And Gideon was uncertain. He was uncertain. Have you ever been uncertain? You know, like something comes on your heart and you think it's from God, you know, and you're pretty sure it's from God, but you're like, man, I don't know how this is going to work. I'm kind of uncertain. Do I really go forward? Will you really ask me to do that? And in Judges we see, and all these four men are in Judges. And the time of Judges was a time of darkness. It was apostasy. The central theme of Judges is basically every man did what was right in his own eyes. And as a result, they were oppressed by these different, the Israelites were oppressed by these different nations, the Amorites, the Midianites, and so on. And they would be so oppressed, and then they'd finally turn to God, and then God would raise up one of these men and have a great victory. And that's the time that we're looking at. These four men were all in the time of Judges. And we have Gideon, and the Bible says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him," Gideon, "and said, 'The Lord is with you, valiant warrior.' And Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened?'" Have you ever asked that? Have you ever gotten to a place in your life when things are going on and you're like, Lord, I know you're with me, but if you're with me, why has this happened? Why am I in this situation? Why am I in this predicament? Why am I in this circumstance? What's going on? And Gideon asks a question. And he says, and where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about? You know, we can look back on our life. We could be in a place, and it can be kind of a dark place, and you know, we're wondering what's going on. And we're like, well, I know, you know, what God has done in the past. Well, where are those wonders now? Where are those wonders in my life? And they said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. You know, sometimes we can get in a place where we feel like God has left us. We can feel like God's not dealing with me anymore. But you know, that's not true. The Bible says He'll never leave you or forsake you. Don't ever believe. Even when you feel like it, because you know, our feelings will betray us. We'll feel like we're alone. But the Bible says, and you rest upon the Bible, He'll never leave you or forsake you, so you're not alone. You're not alone. He's with you. He never said you wouldn't go through it. He just said, I'll go through it with you. And you got to remember that. And He has not abandoned you. But that's the way they felt. And the Lord turned to him, and He said, go in the strength you have, and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you. Now, you know what? You don't have to, like, go work out spiritually and do all these things. He said what? Go in the strength that you do have. Maybe your faith is small. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you just have this much faith, faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. What's the mountain in your life that needs to be moved? Do you have faith? Really? You got faith for eternity. Do you have faith for the mountain that you're facing? He says, I'm sending you. And he said to him, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the youngest in my father's family. You ever say that to God? Hey, I'm... God, you want me to do this? You know, some big thing in your eyes? Some big thing? And you say, and then you start making excuses, right? Oh, you know, I'm the weakest. You know, there's lots of people at the church got more faith than me. You know, they got more abilities than me. All those things. But did God call you or did He call them? And God says, but I will be with you. I will be with you. You know, Gideon was uncertain, but he's known for his vision. You know, Gideon tested God. He was uncertain. And so right after God said in that verse, I will be with you, Gideon says, let me go get a sacrifice. God said, do it. And he ran and he got some meat and prepared it and some bread, I think it was. And he laid it on this rock. And that angel takes his staff and he hits it and fire came out of the rock and consumed it. He's like, I'll be with you, man. And then Gideon's still not sure. And he says, okay, if you're really sending me to do this, God, you ever do this with God? No. If you're really sending me to do this, I'm going to lay this fleece out on the ground, okay? And in the morning when I get up, I want all the ground to be dry. No dew anywhere on the ground, but I want dew to be on the fleece. Now that's pretty bold, isn't it? Go to God and say, I want you to do that. And so Gideon goes to bed, I guess, and he gets up the next morning, goes out there. It's dry, just dry. You know, one thing I love about living in the desert, it's dry. I grew up in Florida. I know what wet is. Okay? And like, you get up, you know, like if you wash your car up here, assuming you don't live on a dirt road, but you know, and it's clean on your driveway, you can get up in the morning, it's still dry. It's all good. In Florida, there's like a gallon of water on that thing. And he got up in the morning, and it was dry like the desert. But he picked up the fleece and it was loaded. The Bible says he wrung it out and there was like a bucket of water in that thing. Now you'd have thought that had been enough. But then he says, oh, no. Okay. That could have happened. Somebody could have come by and, you know, poured water on that thing. No, okay. Now, God, you know, if you really want me to do this, okay, all the ground, you know, and he's in the desert. I want all the ground to be wet with dew, but the fleece has got to be dry as a bone. And he goes to bed and he gets up and bam, it was like he moved to Florida. It's wet everywhere. I mean, I remember I used to go golfing there. You'd be soaked. Your shoes would be soaked if you went early in the morning. So much dew on the ground. And he got up and he goes to the fleece and it's dry as a bone. Now, you'd have thought that would have been enough. God's a patient God, folks. Then he's still in doubt. So God wakes him up one night. He says, Gideon, I want you to go down to the camp of the Midianites and go down there. And Gideon goes down there and there was two men sitting around a campfire, I guess, or something. And Gideon goes down there and he hears them talking. And the one guy says, yeah, I had this dream and blah, 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 blah. He told the dream. And the other guy says, well, that's the hand of Gideon's going to kill all the Midianites. And now finally, Gideon got the message. And he goes back and he gathers his men. And now you got to understand, why do you think he was uncertain? Well, you know, he had started with like 30,000 guys to fight this big battle. And God said to Gideon, he said, hey, just tell anybody that wants to go home can go home. And like 20,000 people left. Now, how's that to bolster your ego, to bolster your confidence? 2/3 of your army leaves. And then he says, oh, that's still too many people. You got too big an army. So then he says, well, let's go down to the creek here and only take the ones that pick the water up with their hand. He's left with 300 guys. And he's got the battle plan. Big battle plan. Get a lantern, put it in a thing, get a trumpet, and go surround the enemy with that. So he's like, you sure? Finally, he says, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And you know, God came through for Gideon. When Gideon's men blew their 300 trumpets, the Lord caused the men in the whole army to turn on each other with their swords. And they fled all these places. They ran. Does your opponent seem to be overwhelming? You know, there was thousands and thousands of men in that army. And Gideon was scared. He was scared when they had 30,000, let alone when he had 300. And he tested God 4 times. But you know what he did, though? He did it. He did it. He trusted God. I mean, if you're going up against thousands of guys with a lantern and a trumpet, you better be confident in God. And he was. How's your confidence? How's your certainty? Are you certain about God? About how he's working in your life? You know, I've tested God before. I remember when I was in Peru, and God told me, you know, through a growing thing that was in me, he said, you need to quit your job. And I had arguments very similar to Gideon. Well, if I do this, then, you know, that'll happen. This won't happen. All this stuff. And I said, you got to show me something. And I came home, was in Peru 10 days, and came home. And in the mailbox, the very first day I was home, there was a thing from the pension plan at my work saying, you can get all the money out. And it was the first time that had ever happened. all the other previous times, it said, nope, the money's not available because we're not funded. And I said, and I'm like, really? You know, the day I get back, you do this to me? But you know what? I had to trust him. And it's worked out okay. It's worked out okay. God has come through. He's taken care of it. And he'll do that for you too. You know, hopefully we don't test him every single time he tells us to do something. But you know, sometimes there's big things in your life and it looks like there's no way it can work. But I sure hope you trust him. Let him build your trust for you. If you are uncertain, learn to trust God in your battles. If you are uncertain, learn to trust God in your battles. And it is a learning process. You test him. Bible says if you're faithful in a small thing, you'll be faithful in a big thing. And you know, God brings things in our life. And he allows us to test him, and he allows us to see him come through, and then he brings bigger things, and bigger things, and bigger things. Trust him. He's trustworthy. If he said he was going to do it, he'll do it. He just may not do it the way you think, or the way you think it makes sense. Because he's God. That's why I had Dave read that scripture. He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Takes the weak things to confound the strong. Barak. Barak was reluctant. You ever been reluctant? You know, Gideon wasn't sure if he was really supposed to do it. Barak was, he knew what he was supposed to do. He just didn't want to do it. He was a little reluctant. She, and this is Deborah, Deborah was a prophetess. She was a judge in Israel. And she had information from God about Barak. And she summons Barak from Kadesh and says, hasn't the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go, deploy the troops on Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men from the Naphtalites and the Zebulunites. Men from the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. And she, you know, she challenges him. And he says, then I will lure Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, his chariots and his infantry at the Wadi, which is like a river, Kishon, to fight against you, and I will hand him over to you. And Barak said to her, if you'll go with me, I'll go. But if you won't go with me, I ain't going. Now, there's a real confident leader right there. He was reluctant to go. Now, God had told him. God had told him, go, and he wasn't going. So he goes to his judge that he had placed in her, and she called him up and said, hey, didn't God tell you to do this? Let me ask you a question. Are you lacking confidence for what God has called you to? Are you lacking confidence? Barak lacked confidence. This army that he was going against, it says his chariots. This guy, Sisera, in his army, Jabin's army, Sisera was the commander, had 900 chariots of iron. 900, along with infantry and everything else. And they, you know, children of Israel, they didn't have any chariots. You're going to go fight chariots? You ever been close to a horse? I mean, them things are strong. And you get on the business end of a horse, it can be devastating. They are strong. They'll move and they'll just move you. And you hook them up to an iron chariot with a guy on there with armament and spears and arrows and things like that. That's a pretty imposing force. But God says, I will hand him over to you. Barak was reluctant, but he is known for his victory. says, the Lord threw Sisera and all his charioteers and all his army into a panic before Barak's assault. And Sisera left his chariot and fled on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as that place. And the whole army of Sisera fell by the sword, and not a single man was left. See, here's what happened. All these chariots are coming down. The infantry's coming down, coming towards this river. And you know what God did? He caused this big cloudburst to come. And it flooded the area. And the chariots were starting to get stuck in the mud. And Sisera, he's leading the army. So he's in the front chariot. He gets stuck in the mud. And so he bails. What are you going to do? Chariot won't move. Horse can't move it. What are you going to do? Well, you better get out of there. Here comes the Israelis, Here they come. They come, and Sisera flees. And you know what? I guess some of the 900 were back there. They weren't in the mud, so they turn around, but they pursued them all. Chariots, army, everything. And every single guy was killed. Great, great victory. You see, if you're reluctant, learn to trust God for your confidence. What's your confidence in? Is it in you? Then you have reason to be reluctant. But if it's in God, now you got something. Now there's something going on. Now you can be confident. Amazing thing. It's so easy for us, though, isn't it, to look at our abilities, to look at our situation and say, it can't be done, I can't win. But you're leaving out the Lord. We have to learn to trust Him. We have to learn that it's not our confidence, it's His. It's His strength. It's His ability. It's not ours. Then we come to a very interesting fellow that most of us, if not all of us, know about. Samson. And Samson was a selfish guy. He wanted things his way. Samson went down, and he'd been called from birth. He'd been called from birth. And now he's a man. And he goes down to this Timnah place and he sees a young Philistine woman there. And he went and told his father and his mother, I've seen a young Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife. He says, I've seen this woman. This is the one I want. Get her for me. And his father and his mother said to him, can't you find a young woman among your own relatives or among our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines for a wife? Modern day translation, can't you marry a Christian? You have to go to the world? There's a little message there for us. If you're getting involved with somebody, make sure that you have like faith. Make sure if you know the Lord, they know the Lord. And by the way, if you know the Lord and someone's showing interest in you and they don't know the Lord, make a good decision. Make a good decision. God's got somebody for you. Okay? Somebody that you can serve the living God with. But Samson told his father, get her for me. She's the one for me. She's the right one, man. Man, I can't tell you how many guys I've heard that from. She's the one, boy. I know I said that about my wife. She's the one. Boy, bad news for her. I'm joking, but it was bad news for her for about 12 years. Because I speak from experience on this, both people need to be Christians, because I wasn't and she was, and she paid a price for that. You need to understand that. I speak from experience. Now, God was good. She hung in there. And it's been 42 years, praise God. But, you know, you don't know how big a work of God that was. But anyway, all that to say, though, he was selfish. He knew what he wanted. And he didn't care, you know, whether she was a pagan Philistine. That's who I want. Selfish guy. But you know what he's known for? His valor. Samson's known for his valor. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came to meet him, shouting. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and the ropes that were on his arms and wrists became like burnt flax and fell off. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. You know, we've all heard, you know, Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. And we know, you know, his death. Because, you know, he violated his covenant with God, and God took his strength away. You know, our strength is not ours. What strength you have is from God. What ability you have is from God. And just as easily as God gave it to you, he can take it away. If he needs to get your attention, he will. And Samson, you know the story. He got taken. He got his eyes put out. And he was put in a mill. And he just pushed this millstone around. And they came and they took him. And they were going to make fun of him at their temple. And in his last breath, he says, "I want vengeance. Give me the strength. One more time, I'll push down this temple. And Lord, let me die with them." That's a sad testimony for a guy that you know, God could have used in a great, mighty way. And you know, and here's the thing about Samson. You know, get this bodybuilder-looking image out of your head. You know, I guarantee you, he just looked like a normal guy. He was an average guy. It was only when the Holy Spirit was on him he had this kind of strength. So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, he looked like Arnold, you know, or something, okay, in his prime. Hopefully he looks better than Arnold now, but it's another story. But, you know, he's just a normal-looking guy. And, you know, that's who God uses, just normal people, just everyday people. But when his Spirit gets on you, man, special things can happen. And Samson's strength was from God. And you know what? If you're selfish, and you know, we all got some selfish in us. Just admit it. Just admit it. Every one of us wants things our way. You know, some of us are a little more submissive than others, just, you know, by personality or whatever. But we all have areas where, you know, this is the way I want it. But if you're selfish, learn to trust God for your desires. Learn to trust God for your desires. Say, I want to get married, or, you know, whatever. You got your eye. Well, trust God to bring you the right person. Trust Him. He knows. And you know what? Some people are called not to be married. Trust God for that decision, too. Not everybody. Bible says not everybody. It's called for that. Trust God for that. It's the best thing for you is to go with God rather than bucking Him. I like the way Jesus used to put it. Why do you kick against the pricks? I like that King James. I can just imagine somebody pricking you to get you to go this way, and you just keep going against it. It just makes the prick harder. No, trust God for your desires. What is it that you want? Have you gone to God with that want? And then have you been open to Him working in those desires? I hope you have. I hope you do. And if you haven't, I hope you'll start. Because it's the best way to go. And then lastly, Jephthah. A not so famous guy. But he's mentioned here. And Jephthah was rejected. Jephthah the Gileadite was a valiant warrior. but he was the son of a prostitute, and Gilead was his father. And Gilead's wife bore him sons. And when they grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You will have no inheritance in our father's family because you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And then some worthless men joined Jephthah and went on raids with him. So here's this guy. He's been rejected by his family. He's the son of a prostitute. So his father had, you know, gone to a prostitute. He was born out of that. And then his father had a wife, obviously, and had other kids. And when those kids grew up, they booted Jephthah. They said, "You're not going to get any inheritance. You're not going to get anything." And so he just goes out, and all these, you know, kind of reminds me of David, you know, not that David was born of a prostitute, but that he was out there, and all these renegades and stuff joined David, you know. It's same kind of thing. Jephthah goes out there, and all these guys come and join him. And he becomes a mighty warrior. And you know what? God wants to use him. And so here comes the, I think it's the Amalekites or whatever they were, come and is oppressing. And God says, you know, "I'm going to use Jephthah to overthrow them." And God came through for Jephthah. The Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah, who traveled through Gilead, Manasseh, and then through Mizpah of Gilead. And he crossed Ammonites. Okay, it was the Ammonites. He crossed over to the Ammonites from Mizpah of Gilead. And Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them. And the Lord handed them over to him. He defeated 20 of their cities with a great slaughter all the way to these different places. So the Ammonites were subdued before the Israelites. God came through. Here's a guy that was rejected. Have you ever felt rejected? Have you ever felt like, have you ever had somebody just didn't like you? It's not a good feeling. Being rejected for your beliefs, has that ever happened? That's happening more and more, isn't it? But we serve a great God that can use us. And he came through for Jephthah. You know, and you know what happened? He was rejected. He went out and he had this band and they, you know, they did whatever. They became mighty warriors. So when the Ammonites came, his own brothers came to him and said, "Lead us." And he said, "Wait, you rejected me. You rejected me." And they said, "Look, if you'll lead us, we'll serve you." See, God had a plan in all that. He chose a very unlikely fellow. And Jephthah was rejected. God came through for him, but you know what he's known for? His vow. His vow. Very serious thing right here, this vow. Jephthah made this vow to the Lord. See, here's another one of those conditional things again. God's called him, and right before he goes to fight, he says this, if Lord, you ever do that? "God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you." You know, God keeps his bargain. I just wonder how many times we didn't keep ours. Something to think about. He says, "If you'll hand over the Ammonites to me, whatever comes out of the doors of my house to greet me when I return safely from the Ammonites will belong to the Lord, and I will offer it as a burnt offering." Well, you know what came out when he came back? The Lord handed him that great victory, 20 cities. His daughter comes out. His daughter comes out. Now, there's a lot of controversy among the biblical people, the theologians. Did he really sacrifice this daughter or not? Because we know that God does not call for human sacrifice. And there's a group that says they did, and there's another group, because when you read the account, she says, "Well, give me 3 months, I want to go out on the mountains," and King James, "bewail my virginity." In other words, I'm never going to be a wife. I'm never going to have children, which was a big deal in that culture. And so he gave her that. And it says that they would gather, her friends would gather every year and you know, commemorate this occasion. But either way, it was a foolish vow. You know, Jesus said what? Don't even make a vow. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And you know, we would do well to follow that advice. Don't make a vow, because God expects you to keep your vows, folks. You know, we call them the wedding vows. And we kind of forget when, you know, because I'm getting ready to do a wedding here in a couple of weeks. Not here, but I'm doing a wedding in a couple of weeks. And I've explained this to them. I said, you're not just making a vow to each other. You're making a vow to God at the same time. And we need to take marriage more seriously than we do as a culture. And don't make foolish vows. You know, if you're rejected, trust God. Trust God. He can use you. You know, you may feel rejected in whatever way, whether it be relationally or some other way, but He will never leave you or forsake you. And don't make foolish vows. Don't do that. Don't just trust God. Just trust God. So we have four, when you look at them, pretty unlikely guys, I would think, to end up in the Hall of Fame of faith. Guys that doubted, made bad decisions. I mean, you know, had to be like basically led by the hand, some of them. I mean, unbelievable. And yet God chose to put them in His Hall of Fame of faith. And I think He did that for a reason. You may be thinking, it's for our benefit. You may be thinking, because of the situations or issues in your life, or maybe you've made some poor choices, like Samson did, like Jephthah did, that you are an unlikely person to be chosen by God. You may think that. But listen, God chooses the unlikely. He chooses the unlikely. Man, if you would have known me 30 years ago, you would say it is unlikely that guy will do ever anything for God, would even care about God. Unlikely. Unlikely. I praise God that He chooses the unlikely. All four of these men had issues or weaknesses, but they were chosen by God to accomplish His purpose. At some point, each had to trust that God was going to come through in their lives. And you know what? We got to do the same exact thing. At some point, you got to choose that, you know what? God's got a purpose for you, and He's going to come through in that purpose. You know, your purpose may not be big and dramatic like Jephthah's or Samson or those guys, but you know what? It's just as important. It might be as simple as your neighbor. I had the privilege the other day. I was at our men's Bible study on Thursday night, and it got to be a little after 8 o'clock, and sometimes we go to 8:30 or so, and I get a message from my wife. It says, our neighbor Steve is in the hospital. He thinks he's dying. You need to go. And so I just ended the meeting. I just said, well, I said, you guys could stay if you want, but I got to go. And we prayed and we left. And I went to the hospital and I talked, and this is a guy, he's been my neighbor and I've talked to him. He comes over, you know, we bring the bread that sits on that table every week. You guys, you know, and he comes over and we give him some bread. He doesn't, you know, they're kind of tight in their situation. And so we give him bread and stuff. And so, and my mother-in-law has been talking to him. I've talked to him some, and I've invited him to church and things like that. But she really, because she's always there when he comes over. And she talked to him. And he even said, I need Lou to come over. I need Lou. But it was after visiting hours, and, you know, she couldn't go. And so I went. And I walked around the corner, and he sees me, and he starts crying. I mean, he was fearful. He was fearful that he was dying. And one of the things that I told him, we talked, I was there about an hour, and we talked, and I told him, I said, you know what? It is not a coincidence that you are my neighbor. There was purpose. There was purpose in that. That you ended up being the neighbor of a Baptist preacher. There was purpose in that. And we talked and whatever, and you know what? He prayed to accept the Lord. And I give praise to God for that. In my mind, it was unlikely because we had talked to him before and he was just always, I know I need to kind of, he was, but you know what? When he was faced with his own mortality, all of a sudden God gets your attention. And he was thinking about it. At some point, you got to trust God that he's going to come through in your life. At some point, you got to do that. And see, here's the thing. This is what's great. God is not limited by our issues and our circumstances. You may think, oh, I got all this stuff, or I'm this, or I'm that. He's not limited by that. You know what limits God? And this is kind of crazy. But you can limit God. And how you limit God? Unbelief. God wants to do something in your life. But if you have unbelief, you're not going to step out in faith, because that's what faith is stepping out and doing something that you wouldn't normally really ever do. It's not your comfort zone. These men came to a place where they believed. Every one of them had issues. Every one of them had doubts and uncertainties. They were reluctant. They were selfish guys. But somewhere along the way, they put their trust in God, and God used them to accomplish His purpose for them. And you know what? He wants to do that in your life. It may seem unlikely, but God has chosen you for a purpose. He has chosen you for a purpose. So trust Him. Will you trust Him? These guys did. And God did marvelous things. And you know, for all the great marvelous things those guys did, it's not any more marvelous than what God did in that hospital room Thursday night. It's just as big. It's just as big. God wants to use you. He just wants you to share. He just wants you to let Him work through you. Trust Him. It's so easy to trust Him for our eternity. But sometimes it's kind of hard to trust Him in our life. Because we want to kind of control it a little. We want to make the decision. I hope you'll trust Him. Do you have faith? Because it starts with the first faith. Faith in Him. There may be someone here today. You may have never asked God to forgive you. You may have never admitted to the true God that you're a sinner and you're in need of forgiveness. You may have never done that. That's the start. That's the start of your journey right there. There may be someone here today that you've never asked God to forgive you. You never asked the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. You've never asked... You know, you've never placed your faith and trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sin. And you've never rejoiced in the victory of the resurrection of Christ, in the victory over sin and death that you get to have a part of. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you have the victory too. And you become a child of God. There may be somebody that's never done that. Will you trust Him with that? Will you start with that? Because that's where it all starts right there. For the rest of us, okay, we got that down. But how are you in the here and now? How are you when you get the phone call? How are you when that circumstance arises and you're going to be thrust into the moment? Where's your trust now? Is it in your ability? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you need to do this, or you need to say something to that person about that, when those things happen, where's your trust now? I hope it's in God. Let Him grow you. He'll be with you. Won't leave you or forsake you. He'll be with you. Let Him grow you. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today? I'm just going to ask some questions. I'm not going to put you on the spot. You just respond if you want. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I've never trusted, I've never taken that first step of faith. I've never placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I've never done that. Anybody like that? I'd just like to slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. Anybody like that? I've never done it. And as far as I know, everybody's done that. I hope that's true. I really, really hope that's true. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to trust God a little more in areas of my confidence? Anybody like that? Trust Him in my confidence. Amen. God bless you. I see those hands. Amen. God bless you. Trust God in your confidence. How many would say, Brother Mike, I need to trust God in some battles? I'm fighting a battle right now, and it's kind of shaky, and I've been kind of fighting it in my strength. I need to fight it in His. Anybody like that? I saw that. Amen. God bless you. I need to fight it in His. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I'm kind of selfish, and I've been trying to fulfill my own desires, and I need to trust God in my future, in the things that He wants me to be involved in my desires. Anybody like that? I need to trust God in that. Whoa, see some hands there. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. How many would say, you know, I felt rejected. I felt rejected in my life. And I just need to trust God that I am not rejected. I am accepted, and He's got a purpose for me. Anybody like that? I just kind of, amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that we would place our trust in You, not only for heaven, but for now in our lives, Lord. The everyday decisions and sometimes battles and choices we make, Lord, that we would trust You. And Lord God, give us strength, give us courage, because sometimes it's fearful to trust You, Lord. I'm just being honest. I've gone forward for You scared to death. But I thank You that You're with me. I thank You that You're there for me and that You fight the battle for me. Thank You, Lord, for that. Help us, Lord, to trust You in a greater way. I pray for these that raise their hands. Lord God, I pray that You would encourage them in a special way, individually, Lord. Just, Lord, give them peace regarding whatever it was that drove them to raise their hand. Help them, Lord, to see that You are in it every step of the way with them. That their trust would grow. And that perhaps Your purpose for that would be revealed to them, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the time for you to deal with God. As Kathy plays, you pray. If you raise your hand, you got something to pray about. So if God's brought something on your mind, go to Him. This is your time to do it. Those that are being baptized, please come and get ready if you haven't already done so. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you just thankful for your faithfulness, Lord, to us. That even when we are weak, you are strong. Thank you, Lord, for the promises in your word on which we can count upon in our times of doubt and uncertainty, our reluctance, our selfishness, Lord, even our rejection, Lord. We can take comfort in knowing that we may be rejected, but you accept us and you want to use us. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. May we be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.